So today, in this most auspicious holy place, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 86, text number 53 and 54. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brahmana Janmana Shreyam Sarvesham Praninam Iha Tapasa Vidyaya Tushtya Kim U Mat Kalaya Yuta Brahmano Janmano Shreyam Brahmano Janmana Shreyam Sarvesham Praninam Iha Tatasa Vidyaya Tushtya Kimu Mat Kalaya Yuta Brahmano Janmana Shreyam Sarvesham Praninam Iha Tapasa Vidyaya Tushtya Kim Umat Kalaya Yuta. Hey Brahmana, Janmana. By his birth, Shreyam, the best, Sarvesham, of all, Praninam, living beings, Iha, in this world, Tapasa, by his austerity, Vidyaya, by his learning, Tushtya, by his satisfaction. Kim U, what more than Mat upon me, Kalaya, with loving meditation, Yuta, endowed. Translation. By his very birth, a Brahman is the best of all living beings in this world. And he becomes even more exalted when he is endowed with austerity, learning, and self-satisfaction. What to speak of devotion to me? There's no purport. It will include text 54 in this class. Na brahmanan me jayatam rupam etachchatur bhujam sarvadevamayo vipra sarvadevamayo yaham. Even my own four-armed form is no dearer to me than a Brahman. Within himself, a learned Brahman comprises all the Vedas, just as within myself I comprise all the demigods. It is understood from the Vedic science of epistemology, the Nyaya Shastra, that knowledge of an object, prameya, depends on a valid means of knowing, pramana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be known only by the Vedas, only by means of the Vedas, and thus he relies on the Brahman sages who are the Vedas personified to reveal him in this world. Even though Lord Krishna embodies all the demigods and Vishnu Tattva expansions of Narayan, he considers himself obliged to the Brahmins. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jada Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, the Brahmins are very dear to Krishna, especially the Brahmin Vaishnavas. You see. Why are they so dear to Krishna? Because Krishna is dear to them. If you hold someone near and dear to yourself, that person will hold you near and dear to them. This is called rasa, loving exchange. You see. This is why the Brahmins are so dear to Krishna, because Krishna is so dear to the Brahmins. Just as on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was fighting the battle, but Krishna said, actually, they've already been killed by my arrangement. Now you go forward and you take credit. So actually, Krishna has already enlightened the entire world with Vedic wisdom, you see. But he tells the Brahmins, now you go out and preach, you educate them, you train them, and you get the credit. All the preaching's already been done. Actually, everybody's already been made a devotee. Just time is separating, that's it. Krishna could personally distribute all the books and make all the devotees, you see. But, as Prabhupada points out in the third canto of Purport, Krishna likes his devotee to be the hero of an episode of which he himself is the doer. You see, Krishna is actually the doer of everything. You understand? Krishna is the ultimate doer of everything. But he likes to see his devotees become glorified and glorious. Just like a mundane example, a father, you see, he was not so great. But if his son becomes very great, then he's not envious, he becomes very happy. Oh, my son has become very great, you see. So, Krishna wants to see his devotees become very, very, very great and glorified by preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also, he one time said, you're always saying all glories of Srila Prabhupada, but why don't you become glorious? You see, if the disciples and the grand disciples, if they become glorious, then that will automatically glorify the founder of Charya, you see. Oh, if just one of the disciple of the disciple is so glorious in his Vaishnava qualities, then what must be the qualities of the founder of Charya of the movement, you see. So So in this way, we should try, in this mood, we should try to become instrumental, just as Arjuna was instrumental, now we must become instrumental for educating the world, doing our brahminical duty as Brahmins to give education. That's the meaning of Brahman. He gives education, you understand? A Brahman is an educator. We are not actually, this Hare Krishna movement is not a religion. It is an educational institution meant to train everyone in the science of bhakti, whether you're a Hindu, a Muslim, a Jain, a Sikh, a Christian, this thing, that thing. We are an educational institution meant to train everyone in all aspects of the society how to become perfect in religion, in developing love for God. You see, we're not here to convert people from one religion to another. We are here to train everyone how to become perfect in the science of bhakti. There's a universal science of bhakti. So, how are we going to be successful in doing this? How are we going to be successful in bringing, in igniting this worldwide spiritual revolution that Prabhupada wants us to ignite? So much so that the high court judges are wearing tilak. How will we be successful in doing this? We will only be successful to the degree that we become instrumental. Not thinking ourselves the doers, you see. It's become instrument in the hands of Krishna, in the hands of Srila Prabhupada, in the hands of our spiritual master, you see. Let their mercy, let their shakti flow through us, you see, in this way. But who am I? What is my position, you see? Prabhupada so nicely taught us in this way, you see. When his arrival prayer in the U.S., he said, I have been designated as Bhakti Vedanta, but I have no Bhakti and I have no Vedanta. I'm simply an insignificant beggar, that's all I am. Insignificant beggar. So, my dear Lord, you please make me dance, make me dance. You be the puppeteer, I am the puppet. You make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. You see, that is pure bhakti. Simply to become a puppet in the hands of one's guru and of Krishna, that is pure bhakti. When you get pure bhakti like that, you see, then unlimited Krishna Shakti can flow through you. You understand? Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. Unless one is empowered with Bhakti Shakti, he cannot spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. It is not possible. Do you understand? One must be completely instrumental, sold out servant of Guru and Krishna. And then one can do the real work of Brahmana to enlighten the world society. Prabhupada explains, Brahman means he's the spiritual master of the human society. How many of you here are second initiated? Let's see, yes. Did you know that you're the spiritual master of human society? That is the position Prabhupada explains for a second initiated Brahman. You see, they are the spiritual master of the entire human society. It's a very big responsibility to be a Brahmin. Just imagine if every single ISKCON devotee went back to Godhead and you were the last one left on this planet. It would be your duty to lead the entire world out of chaos. You see? This is Brahmin. This is what it really means to be Brahmin. It's not simply chanting Gayatri Mantra, wearing some thread. It means you are a teacher. You show by example how to practice pure bhakti 24 hours a day. That is Brahman. You are a living embodiment of pure bhakti. You are teaching it every minute by your example. Even by your very thoughts, you are teaching how to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That is Brahman, you see. Actually, Prabhupada has wonderfully, one of the most amazing purports you will ever read anywhere in Srila Prabhupada's books. He describes what will be the result if there's one devotee who is purely practicing Krishna consciousness without any offense, no nama parads. This is an every time I think about this purport, it just completely amazes me. I'm dumbfounded by this purport. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada explains that if there is one devotee who is completely free of the nama parads, he's chanting without any offense, you see, then he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the entire world will take up Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna. So my question for all of you Prabhus and Matajis is this. Do you think Prabhupada wants any of us to become completely offenseless chanters? Or he wants us to continue committing all these nama-parads? We commit it practically every minute. You see, what does Prabhupada want? Does he want us to become pure chanters of the holy names? Of course he does. So, the point is that to the extent we become empowered, pure chanters of a holy name, to that extent we become empowered to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, you see. So, you should think like this as you go about your daily activities. From the moment you wake up in the morning until the moment you take rest at night, you should think, I'm not only living for myself, but I should be living for the benefit of all living entities in this material existence. I should be thinking, how can I live in such a way that all living entities can become delivered? You see? This is called love. This is compassion. This is the actual mood of a Vaishnava. He's thinking, how can I live in such an exemplary way that the whole world can become Krishna conscious? Yad yad acharati shveshas tattareve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever the great person does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, the entire world pursues. So again, does Prabhupada want us to be great persons or just some, you know, bumbling neophytes who always fight with each other and, you know, can't even get up for Mangalarti and we overeat and we oversleep? What does Prabhupada want? Does he want us to become pure Vaishnavas? Of course he does. So you may say, but it's too austere. I mean, I don't want to be that pure. It's too austere, you know. I mean, give me some slack, Prabhu. Let me enjoy my senses a little bit. Come on. Well, guess what? Actually, the real fact is the more you become purified, the more you enjoy. Do you think pure bhakti is some austere, you know, hellish nightmare? That's what the karmis do. Oh my God, you people give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling? That's a fate worse than death. The reality is, the more that we become detached from gratifying these rascals, you know the rascals I'm talking about, the tongue, the nose, the ears, the genitals, these rascals, you see. The more we become detached from gratifying these rascals, you see, and tell them, just shut up, you rascal. Stop bothering me. You see? I don't want to hear from you anymore, Mr. Genitals. Just shut up. You're not going to get any gratification. I'm Krishna's man now, not Cupid's man. Forget it. You see? So, the more we become fixed in this way, staunchly dedicated to pleasing our spiritual master, pleasing Srila Prabhupada, the more we become ecstatic. We were reading yesterday, or the other day, I was giving a lecture at Nugokula Farm. We were reading about this devotee who was diving deep, 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 deep into Lila Smaranam. And we realized, from the purport and the discussion, that actually You don't have to keep jumping like a monkey from this thing to that thing in Krishna consciousness to get happy. That's a rajasic tendency. Well, I'm not happy with this service, I got to change my service. I'm not happy with this spouse. Nowadays, we're even going that far. I got to change to have a different spouse. It's completely bogus. Divorce is absolutely outlawed in Vedic culture. There's no such thing. Whatever spouse you grihasthas have, just stick with it. Even if it's an austerity, stick with your marriage. Don't divorce. It's absolutely disgusting to get a divorce. No one should get a divorce in ISKCON ever again. If I was the GBC, I would say that, you know, that's it. No more divorces. No one's ever allowed to have a divorce. It's absolutely forbidden. Of course, I'm not a GBC. What can I do? I'm just a traveling preacher. But we have to learn how to, whatever service we have, whatever position we have, whatever we're doing in Krishna consciousness, that there, in that thing there is unlimited nectar. Whatever you're doing, whatever your service is, if you can, in that very service, in that very activity, all you have to do is increase the quality of your Krishna consciousness. All you have to do is go deep, 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 deep into whatever you're doing. I remember many years ago I had the great, wonderful opportunity to travel with His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj on the traveling road show. The big, not these little ones that are here now on the altar. You can't see them without binoculars probably. The little Radha-damodar here, they're the named after the big Radha-damodar who are now in Gita Nagari in Pennsylvania, USA. But I had the great opportunity to travel with Vishnu Jana Swami and the original Pujari, Mother Shalavati. And Shalavati Mataji was so totally into deity worship. It was just, she was really into serving Radha Damodar. But we would hear classes from Vishnu Jana Maharaj and also from Mother Shalavati, because she was had very good realizations. And I remember one class, she said that you can take any service, you see. Just like you're sweeping the floor in the temple room, for example. Or you could be cleaning the toilet in the guest, you know, cleaning the toilet. Any service, any Krishna conscious activity. You do that in such a way that you could go on doing that one thing for all of eternity. Because actually, any devotional activity, there's unlimited nectar to be tasted, to be experienced in any activity. Cleaning the toilet, bathing the deities, distributing books, traveling and preaching all over the world, making devotees, cooking, cleaning, distributing prasadam. Anything that you're doing on the order of your spiritual master is a pure transcendental activity, and that activity itself is the doorway to an ocean of unlimited nectar. That nectar ocean has no bottom. It is a fathomless, bottomless ocean. You can go deeper, 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 deeper into that ocean for all of eternity. So that's why sometimes my Bhagavatam classes go overtime, because I just keep going deeper, 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 and I forget about time, you know. What time are we supposed to end?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock? Oh, that's a long class. That's another 45 minutes from now. Really? All the way till 9 o'clock? Huh?
Including questions.
Oh, okay. This temple is really good. You have a long time. This is a great place for me to come more often. So, this is the real meaning of Krishna consciousness, you see. All we have to do is increase our Krishna consciousness. That solves all the problems, really. We don't have to make changes to the external situation. I remember one of my godbrothers, he was a brahmachari, and he was thinking, I see this nice brahmacharini, I would be much happier if I was married. So So he got married. Now he's a grihastha. After a few weeks, he was thinking, oh, now I'm stuck here with this woman. I have to serve her the rest of my life. And I think I should be a sannyasi now. So he wrote Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada was not very happy. This is the old grass is greener on the other side of the fence syndrome, you see. The brahmachari is thinking, oh, if I was just married, you know, I could sit together and read Krishna book with that nice brahmacharini, you know, for hours and hours. And then once he's married, what did I do? Oh my God, I just need to have a danda, you know. But, you know, it's so silly. The cow is there, you know. There's so much nice green grass on his side of the fence, or her side. The cow wants to stick the head to the other side and eat the grass on the other side, you see. So this is our foolishness. You know, we think I have to change my external situation. Prabhupada told him, your anxiety is simply due to your lack of Krishna consciousness. That's all. So this is a very powerful lesson for all of us in every aspect of our devotional lives. If you're feeling difficulty, the real bottom line is it's simply due to your lack of Krishna consciousness. All you have to do is amp up your Krishna consciousness. Turn up the volume. You know, increase the intensity of your Krishna consciousness. That's all you have to do. Chant better rounds and all problems go away. Dive deeper into Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And dive deeper in your service. If you're doing puja, go deeper into the puja. Beat your head with shoes to remind yourself these are not statues. This is Krishna himself. You see, we look at them, we think, oh, there's a nice looking, well decorated statue of Krishna. I mean, you know, it's hard for us to become completely on the transcendental platform. I remember, though, I was standing with Prabhupada. I was standing on the right side of the Vyasasana in Atlanta. And it was a big temple room packed with devotees. And Prabhupada was looking at Gaura-Nitai. The main deities then were Gaura-Nitai. They were in the center altar. Big deities like you have here, brass deities of Gaura-Nitai, in the center altar. So Prabhupada was looking at the deities and he said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. So he was gazing at the deities. And I was also looking at the deities as he was speaking. And I understood that Prabhupada's vision and my vision were quite different. I'm seeing some nicely decorated, you know, deities. He's saying Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda actually standing there, you see. It's a humongous difference in the vision of the neophyte devotee and the pure devotee. It's a huge difference. Actually, there's that story, maybe some of you know. One follower of Lord Chaitanya, Garidas Pandit, he was keeping the deities of Nitai Gauranga in his home. But then Nitai Gauranga, they came to his home. And he's so happy. He has Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda right there in his home. And now they're going out to leave. And he's thinking, no, no, my Lord, please do not leave. I cannot tolerate your separation. And they said, what is the problem? Don't you see we're there on the altar? He said, but those are deities. I want you. And they said, all right. So Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they walked up and stood on the altar. And the deities came off the altar and were walking out of the house. And Gauridas said, my Lord, please don't leave. I want you here. He said, don't you see we're on the altar? He said, but those are deities. He said, what do you mean? That's us. He said, no, I want you. So they said, all right. They went back on the altar, back and forth, so many times that Gauridas Pandit completely lost track of which ones came for lunch and which ones were standing on the altar. So in this way, we have to understand that Krishna is actually here. He's actually here. This is his pastime. He is having a leela right now. It's his Melbourne leela. You see? He's actually here having pastime. And somehow or other, we are fortunate that we, even though we're completely unqualified, misfit, you know, a million different bad names you could apply to ourselves, you see. But somehow or other, we've been allowed to be a part of this transcendental Melbourne Leela, you see. So in this way, we have to, in any aspect of what we're doing, we have to go deeper, deeper, deeper into that thing and realize that Krishna is personally present not only in the deity, also in the form of devotional service. Devotional service itself is an incarnation of Krishna. So within that service, we simply have to go deeper, 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 and that directly connects us with our spiritual master, it connects us with Srila Prabhupada, it connects us with all the acharyas. Their blessings will just flow upon us as torrents of rain flow like anything during the Indian monsoon season. We just have to qualitatively practice this Krishna consciousness. And as much quantity as possible as well too within our 24 hours. Actually, the devotee is not satisfied. He's thinking 24 hours is not enough. Brahmaji has cheated me. The gopis were complaining that their eyelids had to blink. You see? Brahmaji has cheated us with blinking eyelids. I see everybody here has blinking eyelids. I'm noticing everybody's eyes are blinking. Aniruddha also, his eyes are blinking. So, the gopis were complaining, why you've given us these blinking eyelids, Brahmaji. So in the same way, we can complain to Brahmaji, you gave us a 24-hour day, it's not enough time to serve Krishna. So, as we are reading in these very nice shlokas of the 10th canto, how important are the Brahmins and how a great responsibility is there invested in the Brahmins, you see. So, we have been given the most wonderful rabbinical work to educate the entire world in the science of bhakti. If we take it very, very seriously and very with great joy and enthusiasm, that I have been blessed with the greatest opportunity to be able to tell people about Krishna. What can be a greater opportunity in millions of lifetimes, from all the way from Brahmaloka to Vitalaloka, there is no opportunity like this to be able to tell somebody about Krishna. What a great blessing I have been given. You see. So if we take advantage of this and try to do it with the most wonderful, in the most wonderful first-class ways, as Prabhupada wrote me, in the best descriptive manner, you see. Prabhupada wrote, he sent me a letter about book distribution, but it applies to everything. He says, if simply you present these books in the best descriptive manner, then you can convince anyone, even an atheist, to purchase these books. You see. So we simply have to do everything in a very nice way. Uttama shloka, you see, the book, choicest poetry. Our whole life should be poetic. Everything we do should be first class. The more we can do our devotional service in a first class way, then everyone, the whole world, will come. Even the atheist class, they will come. Well, you've outclassed us, what can we say? You Hare Krishnas, nobody is like you. Nobody lives like you. No one has the personal dealings, the quality of personal dealings that you have. You see, in this way, we have to show the ideal example that the whole world is lacking, sorely lacking. They don't even know how to love each other. What to speak of anything else? It's all just some lusty, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. The whole society is based on selfishness, sense gratification, greed, you see. But here we can manifest a culture, here we can manifest a small sample, a microcosm of Vedic culture that will be so sweet and so wonderful that anybody who becomes exposed to it will be sucked into it like a whirlpool. They won't be able to forget about it. It's the sweetest, most wonderful experience I ever had. I met this Hare Krishna devotee, and I never met a person like that, you see. I never experienced something so amazing as the time I spent talking with that devotee, you see. In this way, the more that we become ideal in our Krishna consciousness, we will have a greater and greater and greater impact on the world civilization. So, that being said, are there any questions? And I'm pretty hard of hearing, so speak loudly and clearly. Give me a break. Yes?
Prabhu, what you were saying in the lecture just now, we were listening the same from Keshava Prabhu yesterday, that we are Goshtanandi, not Bhajanandi.
Goshtanandi. Hmm? Goshtanandi. Oh, Goshtanandi and Bhajanandi, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the perfect example. What Prabhupada is teaching us, we have to be a good preacher. What you are telling is the same thing.
Prabhupada wanted us to inundate the entire world in an ocean of Krishna bhakti. That means we have to preach like anything. We have to become transcendental mad revolutionaries, you see. We want to ignite a spirit like Hanuman, you see, igniting Lanka with when Ravan put his tail on fire, instead of just thinking of putting out his tail in the water, he thought, let me burn up the whole city. So devotee, actually he's thinking, every devotee should think, what can I do to ignite a spiritual revolution on this planet? Every devotee should think like that. You see? Every devotee should be in this mood, igniting a spiritual revolution. If we're all thinking like that and we're all trying to do it, then the combined, the synergy of, 10,000 devotees meditating on how we can revolutionize this planet, then the synergy will be unstoppable. It'll be, that English word juggernaut? ISKCON will be an unstoppable juggernaut. Everyone knows that meaning, English word juggernaut. The British derived it from the name juggernaut. When they came to Puri, they saw this big, huge cart festival, this unstoppable power, coming down the road. So they said, oh, a juggernaut. A juggernaut is like a powerful football team, the undefeatable football team is called a juggernaut. So we have to juggernautize ISKCON by everybody being in this mood of how to make a spiritual revolution on this planet. Even our cleanliness, and this is, I like very much the cleanliness here. Very impressed by the cleanliness here at this temple. Prabhupada said we should be revolutionary clean. And I wonder, what does that mean, revolutionary clean? But my understanding was you should be so clean that just by your cleanliness you make a revolution, you see. So, yes, we must very much be in this mood of preach, preach, preach. Prabhupada would say it again and again and again. Preach to the world. He said, they are dying. You must save them. It's an emergency situation. The entire world is going down to the animal kingdom. You see? And it's our duty to convince them to become Krishna conscious. We have to feel a burning within the heart to want to save them. There's nothing that pleases Srila Prabhupada more. I know of my own experience. I joined in a little temple in Austin, Texas. And then there was some talk by the brahmachari in charge of the center. I think we should just close the center and go traveling and preaching. But Prabhupada had told me in my initiation letter to make this center a success. So I was thinking, well, if they, I have an order from Prabhupada to make this center a success, and if we close the center, how, and what happens to my connection with Prabhupada's order, my connection with Srila Prabhupada? So I wrote Prabhupada a letter. I said, Srila Prabhupada, these people in this town, they desperately need Krishna consciousness. I think we should stay here. And Prabhupada was so pleased that I wanted to stay there to keep the center open. You see, he was so happy. The temple president got a letter, which Prabhupada was not so happy with him. The temple president wasn't very happy with me. I got a little trouble over that, but Prabhupada was so pleased with me, so it made up for the wrath of the temple president when Prabhupada was so happy with me. Prabhupada actually gave us an example in this connection. He said, because we had some difficulty in the center, the landlord had evicted us, we were staying with one householder couple, they had a little tiny temple room, and you wouldn't believe how small the house was. I mean, it was just to circumambulate Tulsi Devi, you had to squeeze your elbows in so you didn't bump the altar. I mean, it was a tiny little room, it's like a little tiny closet, and that was the temple room. So Prabhupada wrote me, he said, now you are squeezed a bit tightly. He said, but if you will gradually sit down and then lay down, then this way you can occupy the big space. So Prabhupada's point was, just somehow or other, try to get some foothold and then expand from there. Just like in the World War II, the U.S., they would take some Japanese island, you know, get a little, or they would take a little piece on the edge of the beach and they would gradually work their way in. So whatever foothold we have established now in this world, Krishna consciousness. Here in Australia, it's a very nice foothold you've established here, you see. Very nice, so many devotees working together in a dedicated way over so many years. A very nice foothold you've established here in Australia. You very much appreciate it. I know that last time we visited one restaurant in Byron Bay. One Madhiji from Fiji, she opened a vegetarian restaurant there. And she called it the Cardamom Pub. And she was getting some business. And then Sabhavati Prabhu, he said, you should add it is a Hare Krishna vegetarian restaurant. And as soon as she did that, the business doubled immediately. He said. So, you have a very good foothold here in Australia, you see. People know Hare Krishna, they have the best food. There's nothing like Hare Krishna. Vegetarian is okay, but Hare Krishna vegetarian, that is something very good, you see. So you have a very good foothold here. Take advantage of this foothold and push this movement by developing ideal Vaishnava qualities and telling everybody about Krishna. Flood this place with Prabhupada's books, flood it with festivals, flood it with prasadam, you know, home programs, do everything you can to get more and more and more people involved in this movement. And it will be the greatest success of our movement. So, any other questions? From anyone else, I'll give someone else a chance. If not, you're on.
Yeah. Would you like to tell us something about Shukadev, his background, Shukadev?
Huh?
Shrutadev. What was he in previous life or any life you can throw on?
Shrutadev. You're asking some.
No, Shrutadev is the Brahmana who is being referred
to. Oh, if I know some more about that?
Yeah.
To elaborate? No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I haven't studied this for some time. I'm just coming in the middle of the chapter. Yes?
What was the purport you were referring to? The Chaitanya Charitamrita purport?
Oh, you want to know which verse it is?
Do you remember? Can you recall which one it was?
You want to know which verse and chapter and all that?
Yeah.
I can look it up for you. You come to me after breakfast and I can show you the... I'll look it up in the folio, the Veda base. I can tell you exactly where it is. Yeah, it's incredible. Anything else?
Yeah.
Yes?
Could you expand more on how to develop that vision to, of the deities? You said there's a difference between seeing the deities and seeing the deities.
Can I expand more on how to develop the vision of the deities? And I couldn't hear the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, the very simple way to do it is treat them as if they are persons. Of course, they are. Treat them as persons. Think of, always think of them as persons. There is Krishna standing there. Just, it's called beating the mind with shoes. You have to constantly remind yourself in any activity you have that you're doing here. Always remember, Krishna is a person. He's standing there. Remind yourself again and again and again and again. The personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, is actually standing here. You see. If you're going out to preach, you should think, how can I bring... He is in great... He's feeling that my beloved children are now lost here in Maya, here in Melbourne. So you should think, how can I bring this person back to his eternal Lord and Master, who's standing here waiting when this person will come and bow down before me. You see? In this way, connect everything you do with the deities. Everything. Every service you do. So any other questions? Yes? Now we can make the preaching more attractive?
How can we be more attractive?
It's very simple. The more you become attracted to Krishna, the more you'll be able to attract others to Krishna. See, if I'm not attracted to Krishna and I try to attract others to Krishna, there will be no potency. Just like some time ago, there was a drug smuggler in South America. He was thinking, they come through Miami, it's a popular entryway for drug smugglers from South America to get drugs into the U.S. So he was thinking that, I know how I'll get through customs easily. I'll just shave my head, put on saffron and a tilak, and they'll think I'm a Hare Krishna. They wouldn't think to check my bags, you know, Hare Krishnas don't take drugs. So he did that. He came through customs, he had his sika, his tilak, neck beads, the whole thing, you know. But they took one look at him and said, you're not a Hare Krishna. Because he wasn't effulgent. He wasn't bright-faced. So they said, let's see your bags. And they caught him and arrested him, you know. So, because they had seen the devotees, you know, in Miami, how ecstatic, especially our Siddhavidya, he always goes around chanting Hare Krishna everywhere on the streets, completely blissing out all the time, chanting and dancing up and down the streets of Miami. So they immediately said, this is not it. So the thing is, the more you become attracted to Krishna, then you will be, they will be attracted to hear from you and learn from you. And see, the more you're attracted, the more your preaching will be attractive, the more your personality will be attractive to them. The more that you're attracted to the personality of Krishna, the more your personality will be attractive to them. And see, here's an amazing person. I've never seen a person that looks this happy, that seems this knowledgeable, that seems this compassionate. Let me see what I can learn and benefit by associating with this person in this way. So now do that. You become more and more and more attracted to Krishna. You must do that, all right? Anything else? So, yes?
Bhajanandi and Goshti Anandi.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, we see like different kinds of devotees within the society. Some devotees like to spend more time on reading and hearing and their sadhana.
More time on?
Reading the book.
Oh, reading, okay.
Reading or hearing or on their sadhana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are not so much inclined towards preaching or doing much service, but and some devotees are more service oriented but don't spend much time on mm-hmm. reading. So what should be the correct outlook?
Yes. If you don't find yourself to be in the mood of a frontline soldier, then you should serve those devotees who are in that mood, should help them. Just like in the warfare, some soldiers are on the front line. You see, the other part, members of the military, they are serving the frontline soldiers, the medics, the cooks, the supply officers. You know, the whole effort is to be on, the whole war effort is to put the energy on there on the front line where the enemy is actually being killed and the territory is actually being won. So if you don't find yourself to be in the mood of a frontline soldier, then you should serve those who are in that mood. This is Prabhupada's instruction to us, you see. That everyone should see, he gives an example of the motto of Indian Railways, that is the duty of every single employee to see that the wheel on the carriage is turning. Someone is actually the engineer who sits in the engine car of the locomotive and, you know, pulls the throttle and makes the engine move down the track. But someone else, Prabhupada gave example, is a clerk. He's sitting in an office signing some paper to authorize that train to move. Somebody's cleaning the tracks. Somebody's cleaning the train. Somebody's bringing the coal to fill the... So everyone should, whatever service you have a wonderful qualified leader here, Srimad Aniruddha Prabhu. You should simply work under his direction and see how you can be a member of the team, you see, to help this movement go forward. You ask him how I can be of best of service here to help our movement be successful in Melbourne, and he will engage you according to your propensity and your nature. You see? Does that answer your question? Okay, very good. Anything else? Alright. Okay, yeah.
When we are preaching to new people, new fights, we have to tell them what is Krishna consciousness. Would you like to tell us how we tell them what is Krishna consciousness?
Depends on the individual. This is not a cookie cutter process. Every individual has to be dealt with as an individual.
How do we start? How do we start?
It depends on the individual. Everybody has a different nature.
Completely new fight, coming first time to the temple.
It depends on their nature. It's not the material world is not a cookie. Every single jiva is unique. It snows here in Melbourne?
No.
Huh? No snow here. In Austin it doesn't snow either, where we have our ashram. But when the snow comes, you can take those snowflakes and you can put them under a microscope and you'll see that every single snowflake is different. There are no two snowflakes in the history of the universe that are exactly the same. Even though there's millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions of snowflakes, each and every one of them is unique. So every single jiva soul is unique. You have to become personal. So you can understand what is the need. Book distributors know this very well. They approach hundreds of people. And they have become very expert. They become intuitive at the art of connecting with each individual according to their psychophysical nature, you see. So, if you want to know how to do it, the best thing, Prabhu, is you should just preach, 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 and then you will get an intuitive understanding of how to do it. I can't just give you a formula. If they look like this, say this. If they look like that, then say that. If they're white, say this. If they're black, no. It's not like that. Everybody is an individual. You have to learn how to connect with that individual person. Super soul is within their heart. And he's within with your heart. And the super soul in his heart and in your heart want that a positive Krishna conscious connection should be made between you and that person. So somehow connect yourself with the super soul within your heart and the super soul within their heart. And that same super soul who's doubly manifested in your and their heart will help you to be, for number one, that you are properly connected, and number two, you'll be able to connect them with Krishna. That's how it works. They told me 9 o'clock, but is it really 9 o'clock? No. Someone said you can go to 9. I said, well, this is really a long class. If there's no other questions, we can stop here. And we thank you all very much for coming here, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.